First of all, thank you all for logging in. This is obviously a new kind of venture for us to try and make sure that we're able to connect with people online, not just in person, but hopefully if the technology works, we'll be able to take that forward. One of the interesting historical quirks of this time of year, actually, is around 400 years ago, 450 years ago in 1556. So the Roman in Adar was stuck. There was a plague. There was an infectious plague in Krakow, and he was not able to get to see his family and friends. And he wanted to go to his father to give him a shlach manas, which was something he'd always done without fail. He felt terrible about it. And he had to go to Shidlov. Shidlov is about 190 kilometers away from Krakow, quite a long way away. And so he felt very cut off from people. And therefore, what he decided to do is write a Perush. He wrote a commentary on Megillah, which he called Mechir Yayin. He sent that to his father later and said, this has become Mishloach Manas. If we're not able to actually be with each other in person, he said to his father, we can at least be with each other in Torah. And he sent that Perush to him. And out of that came a beautiful classic Perush on the Megillah. So one of the things that maybe can come out of this very challenging, very worrying, stressful situation is that we can have more opportunities to connect with each other in Torah, connect with each other. We have more flexible schedules. I don't know about you, but I certainly have a little bit more of a flexible schedule at the moment. And therefore, I'm very happy to use this opportunity to connect with people if we possibly can. So what I'd like to do over the next 3 weeks, this is our classic slot, the 10:15 slot, is I'd like to talk a little bit about pre-Pesach Torah. We have to talk about something other than the Inyana de Yoma and coronavirus. We have to talk about Inyana de Yoma of Pesach as well. Pesach is coming, and there are opportunities for us to share ideas with each other. I would say, just before we go any further, if anything happens technologically and we get cut off, or there's a power cut, or the thing freezes, and never fear, this shiur has already been pre-recorded. And I'm able to send out an audio and indeed a video recording of this, which I did yesterday. So if anybody, for whatever reason, cuts off and they can't keep going, so don't worry, just get in touch with me, get in touch with the OU, and we'll be able to get a share to you. So this is the plan. What I'd like to do for the next 3 weeks is, today I'd like to talk about a fascinating topic, which is related to wine at the Seder, which is Eliyahu and the quest for the fifth cup. Next week, I'd like to get into an issue of grape juice and wine and white wine and red wine and all the resonances that we have on Seder night with blood, etc., which is really fascinating. Lots to say about that. And 2 weeks from now, in Yetz Hashem, the third shiur before Pesach, I want to speak about charoses. What is there to say, you might ask, about charoses? The answer is an awful lot more than you think. Charoses is an absolutely fascinating. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a minhag? Is it a medical procedure? Everybody likes to eat more charoses than they should on Seder night. Is that a problem or is that not a problem? Lots to talk about there. I would remind you that in the past, we've also talked about a lot of other issues. Hopefully these shirim are available on the OU website. If not, you can contact me. I'm happy to send them out. We've talked about kidneys. We've talked about gebrochts. We've talked about women leaning, eating korban Pesach bizman hazeh. We've talked about the kezias, the size of the kezias. We've talked about celiac and oat matzahs. There's lots of great resources on halachic and hashkafic issues pre-Pesach. So this year, in Yetz Hashem, I picked three completely new ones, which we'll go through together. Okay, so I hope that you have the sheet. There is a source sheet. It should have been uploaded. If you have the source sheet, that's great. If you don't have the source sheet, that there may be ways that you can even connect in to actually download the source sheet now. The OU should have that up on the site. If you don't have the source sheet, I'm afraid it's Torah Shabbat Alper, but you can always get it from me. As we get more fluent in these online sessions, we should find ways of being able to send the source sheet out to everybody in advance. Again, we'll all get better at this as time goes on. So let's start with the first source, please. If we could have a little look down at the issue of the four cups. So, as you, I'm sure, know, there is nothing in the Torah directly to do with wine and drinking wine on Seder night. The Torah has many mitzvahs that it talks about. It talks about matzah, talks about the Haggadah, obviously telling over the Sippur, Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are many negative Torah mitzvahs of not eating chametz, etc. Maror today is a rabbinic mitzvah, which applies, now that there is no Korban Pesach, applies on a rabbinic level. But there is no mention in the Torah of wine on Seder night. However, this appears very quickly in the Mishnah. Have a look, please, if you have the sheet. Number one in the Mishnah says as follows: Afilu ani shebi Yisrael, even a poor person in Israel, in the Jewish poor person, lo yochal ad sheyasev, he doesn't eat on Seder night until he leans. Everyone is a free man, everyone is a rich man, as it were, at Seder. And then it says, v'lo yifchasu lo mi'arba kosis. And they, the Gabayim, have to make sure that he doesn't get less than four cups, shel yayin, of actual wine, afilu min ha-tamchoi, even from the tamchoi. Now, what's the tamchoi? The tamchoi is the food kitchen, the food rations, even people who are destitute to the point that they're being supported by the food kitchen, the soup kitchen, even they must be given wine, which is remarkable on Seder night. Don't forget, grape juice was not an option for them. We'll talk about that next week when we get more into grape juice. Grapes are available only in the summer months, and grape juice only lasts for a few days after you squeeze it. So grape juice was not an option for anybody in April. Raisin juice, maybe. We'll get to that when we look at that next week. But even the poor had to be given four cups. And of course, on second night, another four cups from the tamchui. Okay, the Mishnah doesn't talk about why there are four cups. However, the Gemara immediately does. Look at number two, please. Mina la arba kosis. Rabbi Yochanan says as follows. Keneged arba geulah is the famous source that we know. There are four expressions of geulah, of redemption, in the Torah. L'chein omel b'nei Yisrael, ani Hashem v'hoiseisi etzchem v'lakachti etzchem v'goyme, etc. And the Gemara clarifies v'hoiseisi, v'hitzalti, v'ga'alti, v'lakachti. And I'm sure everybody's is familiar with this, that God says he'll take the Jewish people out, he'll save them, he'll redeem them, and he'll bring them, and he'll take them for himself. The four lashonis of Geula. Fine, that's the first answer, Rabbi Yochanan. The second answer, says the Gemara, is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, keneged arba kosis shel paro. Interesting, a lot of people don't realize this. The four cups that Yosef gave to Paro, kais paro biyadi, etc., ve'ekach el anaviv, ve'eschat, oisem or kais paro, a second mention of the kais, ve'eten al kais akav paro, he puts the kais on the hand of Paro, ve'natata kais, says you put the cup on him. So the story of Yosef as well, Yosef and Paro, that's the second opinion. Rabbi Levi Amar Keneged Arba Malchuyos, the four kingdoms that oppress the Jewish people, who are, of course, Babel, Persia, Greece, and Rome.
You might go out. They got a problem. They have to call somebody.
I don't know if you can still see me. I've just disappeared from my own screen, which is a bit concerning. Can someone give me a thumbs up? If there's a few people on video, can someone give me a thumbs up if they can still see me? David, I can see your face on the screen there. Can you still see me? Give me a thumbs up.
No. And I don't know. Where do you see a thumbs up?
You can't see me. What has happened? I'm not sure what's happened here. Thumbs up now.
Yeah, we're good.
Thumbs up. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. We're back with you. Thank you very much. Sorry about that short hiatus. Let's carry on. So the four Malchias, Babel, Persia, Greece, and Rome. We'll see if there's a fifth. And finally, on the source number two, Rabbanan Amri Keneged Dalakosa Shel Paramus. There are four cups of destruction that God will bring on the nations who have oppressed the Jewish people. And connected those four cups, parallel to those four cups, there are four cups of redemption, of consolation, I should say, that God will bring to the Jewish people. What does it say? Hashem anaz chelki v'kosi. Hashem is my portion, my cup. Dishanta b'shem en roshi kosi ravaya. Also from Tehillim, we know this well. V'hadein, and then there are two more. Kos Yeshuas, plural, is Kos Yeshuas, the cup of redemptions. Esa, that's tray. And therefore, these four ideas are brought by the Yerushalmi. The Bavli doesn't deal with this directly. The four ideas in the Yerushalmi, either the four lashenis of redemption, we know that, v'ga'alti, v'lakati, etc. The four cups that Yosef puts onto Paro's hand, the butler rather puts onto Paro's hand, the four malchus, the four kingdoms that oppress the Jewish people, or the four cups of destruction, which become four cups of consolation for the Jewish people. Okay, fine. This is all Torah that I'm sure people are well aware of. The question is, where is the fifth? Is there a fifth to these four? Now, in terms of the four Malchus, there may well be a fifth. I put in the footnote, you could add Egypt to the beginning. You could perhaps add Gog and Magog and Mashiach at the end. But in terms of the four expressions of redemption, if you go over the page to page two, if you have the sheet in front of you, there is a fifth pasuk. And I'm sure, again, people are aware of this so far. We are on fairly safe territory. If you look at the pasukim in source number three from Shmos, you will see it says, V'hoseisi eschem, v'hitzalti eschem, v'ga'alti eschem, v'lakachti eschem. And then there is a fifth pasuk. I will bring you. The question is, why is this fifth expression not given its own kos? Why are the first four expressions given a kos, but the fifth expression, there are even other alternatives. There's the hayiti lachem elokim, I will be for you a God, but the hayveti is an expression, is an active expression of God redeeming the Jewish people, bringing them into our Eretz Israel. So the question we're going to have to look at in this shir is, does this fifth expression of the Heveti somehow connect with a fifth cup? And we'll see, this is very much a mainstream view that it does, but we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Of course, there is another four. There are four psukim that we darshan, that we expound at the Seder night, from Arami Ovid Avi, of course, and I brought this in source four, when we look at the four psukim of the story of the Jewish people from Mikra Bikurim, Arami Ovid Avi, and the second pasuk, V'yareyu Asanu HaMitzrim, the Egyptians were evil to us. The third pasuk, V'nitzakel Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, we cried out. The fourth pasuk, V'yotzeyenu Hashem Mitzrayim B'yad Chazakah. We know all those psukim, we say all those psukim, and we finish off, B'mayra Gadol V'osis of Amosem. But there's a fifth pasuk. There's a fifth pasuk again for those psukim in Dvarim, in Mikra Bikurim, that we don't say. That God brought us to this place. And clearly that verse, V'yavienu, corresponds with the fifth expression of Geula in Shemot, V'heveti, Lahavi, that God brought us. So again, there is a fifth pasuk in the psukim that we go through at the Seder that we don't actually mention, which is there anyway, which is hiding, if you like, in the background. So we see that each of the four expressions correspond, we know, to four cups, and the fifth one we'll talk about in a minute. Now, every single one of the cups at Seder night is linked to a mitzvah. The first cup, of course, is linked to the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush. The second cup is linked to the mitzvah of saying the Haggadah. The third cup, have a look in source number five, please, says the Mishnah, Mazgul lois kos shlishi, the third cup, Mevarech al mazonai, and you say Birchas ha-mazon, the Torah mitzvah of benching on the third cup. Revi, what about the fourth cup? Goymer alav is a halel, we complete halel, we say full halel, and of course we complete it, we started it before the meal, and we now finish it after the meal. Ve'oymer alav Birchas ha-shir, and we say Birchas ha-shir. Two things, interestingly, we say halel, and we say Birchas ha-shir, the song, the bracha of the song. What is Birkas Hashir? So if you look in number six, the Gemara in Pesachim immediately picks this up and says, my Birkas Hashir. What is Birkas Hashir? So Rav Yehuda Amar, Yehalelucha Hashem Elokeinu. Yehalelucha, of course, is the end of Halel. It's the bracha that ends Baruch Ata Hashem Melech Mehulah B'Tishpachos. That's Birkas Hashir according to him. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Nishmas Kol Chai. Now Nishmas Kol Chai has got nothing to do with Hallel directly. Nishmas is a completely different tefillah, but that's Rabbi Yochanan's approach. And of course, Nishmas ends with Yishtabach, which ends itself with the bracha Baruch Kel Chei Olamim. Tana Rabbanan, and then there's a brisa that says, not only do we say Hallel and Birkas Hashir, but Revi, the fourth cup, Goymer Alav Es HaHallel. We have to finish Hallel, and V'Oymer Hallel HaGadol. We have to say Hallel HaGadol. Now, what is Hallel HaGadol? Hallel HaGadol is something else completely. Hallel HaGadol is Hodu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chazdo, all the 26 Kili Olam Chazdos from Tehillim. We have to say that apparently on the fourth cup as well. Divrei Rabbi Tarfon, that's Rabbi Tarfon's view. V'yesh Oimrim, and there's another opinion that says Hashem Roi Lo Echsar, which is Mizmor LeDavid, which is Tehillim Chaf Gimel. We say that also on this fourth cup. So this fourth cup is getting a lot of action. The second and the third cups get one mitzvah on them each. But on this fourth cup, we now have a lot of different things, which is interesting. Normally we don't do that. Normally we say, "Ein osim mitzvahs chavilas chavilas." We don't pile up mitzvahs on the same cup, but now we're saying Hallel, we're saying Birkas Hashir, we're saying Hallel HaGadol, Hodu Lashem Kitov, Kili Olam Chasdo, we're potentially saying Mizmor LeDavid. There's so much going on this fourth cup. Now, is there a hint of a fifth cup? There is no hint in the Gemara of a fifth cup that we see. You only start to sniff that there's something going on when you look at Rashi. Look in Rashi number 7. Rashi says, Hachri Garsinam, the Gemara starts, he says, this... This is the correct of Hallel. Rashi doesn't give us a hint to the Girsa that he's not happy with, but Tosfos does. Have a look in Tosfos, number 8. Revi Oyma Alav Hallel HaGadol. Revi Garsinam, it should say the fourth, which is what our Gemara says. The Lo Garsinam Chamishi. It shouldn't say the fifth. The Tosfos is obviously aware that there is a version, there is a textual version of the Gemara that says the fifth cup. And then he quotes Rav Yosef Tov Ilen, the Rav Yosef Bonfis, which is one of the Balei HaTosfos. He adds in, he says, look, im chaylehu, if you feel sick, if you're not so well of Agada, or istanis, or if you feel you're very sensitive, the Iboy Mishti Chamra, or if you feel you have to drink more wine, Mishum Oines, because you really don't have a choice, then you're allowed to drink a fifth cup, Loime Chamishi, then you can sing. That's the middle cup of wine on say tonight, did you hear that there are people up? But okay, there is a Hallel HaGadol. And also Lishtos. Hmm. Where does that come from?
These British rabbis are learning very good.
He's very good, Rabbi Manning. It's just that, you know, all this Gemara and this one says and that one says it's not
focused on what the trade.
That's why. So,
I know. It's orientation.
Individual is something really important.
Part of the Tzakana, that the fifth cup is much more mainstream.
Hear what you're saying in the middle of the thing?
Of course.
Shut them all up.
Yeah, but it's not doing it. Not
doing it.
What?
Years ago, Rav Amram gone, Rav.
Where it's
going. Oh boy. Yeah. Of Kaif, Rashi in the Sefer HaParadeis, although Rashi in the Gemara says not like that. Rav Yosef Bonfils, like we said, the Rambam, we'll see in a minute, the Maharam Chalawa, the Meiri, and many others. And therefore, even though the Ashkenazi Girsa, the version of the Gemara for the Ashkenazim, Rashi Tosfos, the Rashbam, was four cups, the Gaonim and the Sephardim mostly had the Girsa of the fifth cup. And in fact, Rav Kasha goes so far as to say that he researched the manuscripts, the Kisvei Yad, from the medieval period, and there are many Kisvei Yad, there are many manuscripts of the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli, that actually also use the text, the fifth cup, even though the version that we have today does not say that. If you go over to page 3, you'll see that Rabbeinu Chananel, one of the classic early North African Rishonim, he writes, Tana Rabbanan, in number 10, Chamishi Omer Alav Halelah Gadol. He writes, on the fifth cup, you say Halelah Gadol. And the printer, this looks better if you look at the actual daf, if you look at the printed version of the text, the printer changed it from Chamishi to Revi, from the fifth to the fourth, because he didn't understand, this must be a mistake, he said. But it's not a mistake. Rabbeinu Chananel actually did hold that there was a fifth cup, and at least the printer, when they printed it, didn't remove the word fifth. They just left it in brackets. So you see there now that there's a real showdown happening between the Sfardim and the Ashkenazim on this issue of the fourth versus the fifth cup. Now, why might you not want to have a fifth cup? Why are the Ashkenazim so concerned about this fifth cup? So there are two reasons. First of all, I brought you in number 11, the question in the Gemara as to whether you can drink between the cups. Okay, number 11. Bein kaisas halala, between the first and the second cups, the first and the second cups, im ratza lishdais yishta. If you want to, you can drink. You can drink, obviously, after the second cups during the meal. You can drink wine as much as you like during the meal, within reason. We'll see soon. Excuse me. But after the first cup, between the first and the second cup, are you allowed to drink, says the Gemara. Yes, you're allowed to drink. Now, by the way, this is important halacha lemaisa during the Haggadah, the recitation of the Haggadah. Now, some people's Haggadahs go on for a good long time. Are you allowed to drink during the Haggadah itself? Now, our minhag is not to drink wine during the Haggadah. But the halacha, according to many poskim, is that you can certainly drink other drinks. You can drink water, seltzer, sodas, coke, coffee, tea. And certainly my poskim advise that during the Seder, during the Haggadah itself, it's a good thing. It's advisable to bring out some caffeine to keep people awake, to keep people involved, etc. I know there are people that do not drink during the whole Haggadah, but that's a chumrah, and it's a chumrah which comes at a cost. According to the basic halacha, you're allowed to drink perhaps even wine, even though that's not a minag, between the first and second cup. However, ben shlishi ravi, no. You can't drink after the third cup, there's no more wine. Why not? So the Rosh brings down, in number 12, the concern. If you look at the end of the Rosh, he says, Nira shemoisif ala kosas. We're worried about adding to the cups. We don't like even giving the impression that there are more than the statutory number of cups. Chazal said four cups. It's four cups. If you drink extra wine, it looks like at the end you're mosif ala kosas. This, by the way, translates into an interesting halacha. If you're a man and you have an obligation to lean, women's leaning we dealt with in a previous shiur. You can go online and find that. If you're a man and you have to lean and you drink the wine without leaning, do you have to drink again? So for the first and the second cups, since you're allowed to drink anyway extra wine, me'ika hadin, so the answer is you drink again. You drink you repeat the drinking, you drink another cup and lean this time. For the third and the fourth cups, there is a problem of most psychosis. Give the impression to the cups,
I don't understand.
Between the third and fourth cup, if you don't lean, you have to do it again.
Between the third and fourth?
No, if you don't lean to the third and fourth cup, so you have to do it again.
Okay, as you're a man, there's questions about women, but we lean. But wait, when are you allowed to drink something during the Seder?
First and second. He said you're allowed to drink anything you want, but preferably not wine.
Of course not. That's special.
But you can have the coffee.
You have what?
You have coffee.
No, I don't want any.
Russian chashuv or chashuvim lean. If you know a chashuv woman, you're not lean.
So who knows who's a chashuv?
Something just went a bit strange with my computer there. I hope you can still hear me. If anybody is in the video, if someone can't hear me, please give me a thumbs down on the video. But I'm going to continue for the time being as if everybody can hear me. I assume it's still going well. The Mordechai says, he adds, it'll be Yerushalmi, number 13, Mefarish, Tam, he adds a reason, Deloy Yishta, you shouldn't drink, Mishom Shema Yishtake, you may become drunk. It's not Purim Suda, it's Pesach Seder. And therefore, drinking extra wine is a problem. So the Ashkenazim were quite machmir. They don't want you to drink wine more than the statutory amount. How does the Rosh bring things down? Look at number 14. The Rosh brings things down as follows. He writes at the beginning, I'm not going to read the whole of this because we don't have time to do everything. But the Rosh quotes the Rashbam's version of the Gemara, number 14, HaRashbam Goyres Revi, Oimrim Alav Halel HaGadol, that on the fourth cup you say Halel HaGadol, because Chamishi Mandaka Shmei, who talked about a fifth cup? And then he suggests maybe the fifth cup is optional. We saw that before. And he rejects that. And he says, that's not what the Gemara sounds like. Had the fifth cup been optional, then he would have said optional. It seems to say, the Girsa that says the fifth, says you have to drink it. And at the end, he says, our minag, at the end of the day, is to have four cups, okay? And to have the fifth cup as an option for the person who's like needy, who needs that extra wine, like we saw in Rav Yosef Bonfis, and he leaves it at that. But he records this reality of the fifth cup. Now, think about this for a second. The major Sfarim, the Rif, and we'll see the Rambam, and here the Rosh, give a lot of credibility. Right. What would you expect the Shulchan Aruch to say? You would expect the Shulchan Aruch to at least give this as an opinion, that there is a Yesh Omrim, that there is a fifth cup. We'll see soon, quite remarkably, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't go in that direction. Meanwhile, there are other Rishonim that are extremely positive about the fifth cup. Have a look at the Raivat. Look at number 15. The Raivat's in Provence. Says the Raivat, number 15. A Raivat Kasav Garsinim Yerushalmi Dalekosis Salari Keneged Dalekolas. The Yerushalmi says four cups are Keneged for redemption. Shenemro Mitzrayim HaYisaisi, etc. The Rebbe Tarfon and Rebbe Tarfon says Hayamevi Chamishi Keneged Vehevesi. And he says explicitly in the Rishonim that the fifth cup is there because it's parallel with the fifth expression of Geula Vehevesi, that God will bring us into the land of Israel. That's where the fifth cup is from. And then in number 16, the Ravid goes further. Look on the third line. The Balaam Or says we only have four cups. And the Ravid says no. The third line in the Rashi script, Amar Avram, there is a strong basis for this minhag of the fifth cup. Shnei Markus Rabbi Tarfon says, Chamishi Omer Alav Chalel HaGadol, U'mitzvah La'asos Kedvarav. And it's a mitzvah to do this. It's not a rishus. It's a mitzvah to drink the fifth cup. The four cups are parallel to the four expressions of Geula V'lakachta Ga'alti V'Hitzalti V'Hadseisi. Interesting, he changes the order there. He's very clear. The fifth cup is parallel to Vehevesi, and he brings a support. The Tanakama and the Mishnah, if you remember, said, Lo yifchatu lo midalat kosas, you mustn't give him less than four cups. But to add the fifth cup, he doesn't say you can't give him more. He says you can't give him less. And therefore he says this fifth cup has a very strong basis in halacha. And if you go over to the fourth page, to page four, in number 17, the Ran, who is another Sephardi Rishon in the 14th century, he actually brings down two views. He says either the fifth cup is Rishus, is an option, like we saw before, for people who feel that they need it and want it, and you can say Halel HaGadol. But then he says on the second line, inami, alternatively, mitzvah min ha-mufchar. It actually is the most ideal way of performing the mitzvah, lishtot kos chamishi, to drink a fifth cup. The loimer alav halel ha-gadol. The hainu lishna da'aymer alav halel ha-gadol. The chach matin divri ha-rambam. And he thinks even the Rambam might think that as well. So where are we so far? We've seen very clearly that there are two clear views in the Rishonim. There's a fourth cup position, which is mostly Ashkenazi. There's a fifth cup position, which is Sephardi, the Gaonim, and most of the Sephardim. And either the fifth cup position is an optional fifth cup, or even a mitzvah, min hamufchar, an ideal mitzvah fifth cup. Rav Menachem Kasher wants to suggest maybe this was a machloket between the two yeshivas, Sura and Pumpadisa, in Bavel. Maybe one said four, one said five. That's difficult because our Gemara clearly says four, and the Gaonim all clearly, almost all clearly said five. There's also a side issue, which I'm not getting into now. Our Gemara has a very hard time understanding how we can drink four cups on Seder night because it's zugois, it's pairs. We don't do things in pairs. The Bavli was quite concerned about more superstitious, we might see it superstitious. The Yerushalmi was not so concerned about this at all. We talked about this during our Shira in Ayin Hara. The Bavli is more concerned with Ayin Hara than the Yerushalmi. And the Gemara spends quite a lot of time debating, how is it possible that we drink four cups on Seder night? If they really drank five, then that whole conversation would be moot. There would be no reason for it. So it does sound as though they drank four, one suggestion. Also, there are some that suggest that the minhag at the time of the temple was to have five kosas for the fifth expression of Geula, the Heivesi. But after the Churban, they dropped down to four cups, except some people kept going with the fifth cup because they felt it was a bakasha, it was a tefillah, that the Geula should come again. That's possible. One would need to see evidence for that. It's speculative. It's also a bit tricky because the Mishnayot in Psachim, which talk about four cups, seem to relate back to the period of the temple because they bring the question, don't forget the question of the four questions, they bring a question relating to the Korban Pesach. So it sounds from the Mishnah that it is rooted in temple times and there are four cups, unless, of course, you want to argue that they still ate the Korban Pesach after the temple was destroyed, which is possible. And we talked about that in our share a few years ago on Korban Pesach in today's world. Okay, so let's leave that to one side and let's just move on with our question on the fifth cup. The Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Have a look at the Rambam, please, in number 18. The Rambam is obviously going to be very important. Look at what he says. The achakach noitel yadav. Then you wash your hands. Mavarak birkas amazon. You do my machronim. You say birkat amazon. Akosh lishi, number 18. The shotot. Vashotim. And you drink it. And then you have to pour the fourth cup. And you finish halal on the fourth cup. And then you say birkas ashir. Which we saw is the end. He paskens is the end of halal. Melech mo'olah b'tishpachos. And then you make a bracha. Borei peri ha'gafet. The ain a time achakach klum. No more drinking. Apart from water. So the Rambam seems clearly to say four cups not five. But then he says, Yeshla limzai, but you should pour. Yeshla doesn't mean you can. It means you should. Yeshla limzai, kais chamishi, you should pour the fifth cup. The loimer alav halel agadol, and say halel agadol on that fifth cup. For whom? What is that? Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. Add Al Naras Bavel, which is interesting. In the Minhag, we do not say Al Naras Bavel. Okay, maybe up until Al Naras Bavel. The Kaiser Ein Chayva, it is not an obligation. Kamoi Arba Kaisers, like the four cups. Now, that could either mean it's not an obligation at all, or it could mean it's not the same type of obligation as the four cups, but it is something that you should do, which seems to match with the language of the Rambam. So what does the Rambam say? There is a fifth cup. The fifth cup is poured, and you say Halel HaGadol over it, but it sounds like you don't drink it. Now, you and I are all thinking, I'm sure many of you are thinking, the one word I haven't said for the whole shir is Kos Shel Eliyahu. Now, the answer is, none of the classic sources in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, until we'll see in a minute, mention Kos Shel Eliyahu. Kos Shel Eliyahu, we'll see, is this question of the fifth cup morphed into the reality of Kos Shel Eliyahu. So the Rambam says there is a fifth cup, but it seems that we don't drink it. The Beis Yosef, which I'm not going to read in detail in number 19, says that even though many of the Sfardi Rishonim do mention the fifth cup, the Minhag in Spain in the late 1400s, he was originally as a child from Spain, was not to have the fifth cup, since their text of the Talmud did not reflect that. Their text of the Talmud was the Rashbam's text, which was four cups only. Fine. Now we need to introduce a complicating factor. If you remember back to Seder night, everybody is usually on the same page on Seder night until a certain point, until we get to Hallel. We all sing Hallel. We finish Hallel, regular Hallel, like we say in Shul. And then all of a sudden, everybody's Haggadahs start veering off in different directions. Some people say Yahalelucha. Some people start with Nishmas Kol Chai. Some people start saying Melech Mo'olah B'tish B'chois. Some people start end with the Brocha Baruch Keil Chai Olam, Melech El Keil Chai Olamim. What's going on? All of a sudden people start saying, Agoda, this is not in my Agoda. Why is your Agoda saying that? The answer is because there were a number of different minhagim as to what exactly, how exactly you finish off the Hallel. Do you finish off Hallel the way that we do in Shul? Yahalelucha and Melech Mohulal B'tishpachot, Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Mohulal B'tishpachot. Or do you finish Hallel the way that Nishmas finishes with Yishtabach and Melech Keil Chei Ha'olamim? And in fact, the Tor in number 20, which again, I'm not going to get time to go into in detail now, the Tor in number 20 connects this whole debate with the fifth cup. If you think about it, as we said at the beginning, if you have four cups, you've got an awful lot to do on these four cups. You have Hallel and Birkas Ashir and Hallel HaGadol and Nishmat and all of that stuff. If you have five cups, you could maybe start splitting it up. And the Torah talks about this. Maybe you could have Hallel and the Brocha Melech Mo'olah B'tishpachot on the fourth cup. And then maybe you could have Hodul Hashem Ki Tov, Nishmas, Yishtabach, and Melech Keil Chei Ha'olamim, the other Brocha, on the fifth cup. And in fact, there are a number of different minhagim as to what develops. If you turn for a second to page 5, again, I hope you've got the sheet, because there's a lot on here that will help. There basically are two main minhagim now. There really are three options. Either you finish with the brocha Melech Keil Chei Olamim, that's after Yishtabach, or you finish with the brocha Melech Mohulal B'Tishpachot, which is after Hallel, or you finish with two brochas, like I said before. Now, most of us today only have one brocha. And that is because the Ashkenazi, and I spelt it out on the top of page 5, the Ashkenazi minhag is to say, listen carefully, Hallel, regular Hallel, Yehalelucha, without the brocha, then Hodul Hashem Kitav, Psalm 136, then Nishmat, Yishtabach, and finish off Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Keil Chei Ha'olamim. The Sfardi and the Nusach Sfard Haggadah is different. They say Hallel, then they skip Yalelucha, they say Hallel Agadol, Hodul Hashem Kitov, Nishmas Yishtabach without a brocha, then they say Yalelucha and end Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Mohulal B'Tishpachot. But other Rishonim, as we saw in the Torah, and there are other references as well, did different things, and some of them had two brachot, and some of them had one. So this issue of the fifth cup is not just about the fifth cup, but when you get into this debate at the end of your Seder, why are our Haggadahs saying different things, then you can now think that the fifth cup may connect into that as well. Okay, halacha lemaisa. Do we have a fifth cup, or do we not have a fifth cup? Shulchan Aruch, astounding, number 21. Acha arba kaisas, after four cups, says the Shulchan Aruch, eino rishai lishdot yayin. You are not allowed to drink wine. Elamayim, only water. That's it. Four cups. No mention of the fifth cup. The Ramah comes in and says, Mishahu istanis, he brings this shita from Tosfot that says someone who is sensitive or tav harbe or very thirsty, they can drink a fifth cup. And then they say Halel HaGadol on the fifth cup. But it's like an option. Rav Menachem Kasha is astounded. He says, how can the Shulchan Aruch not follow the classic Darchei Hapsak? The Derech of the Shulchan Aruch is to rule like the majority of the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. Now, the Rif says, drink a fifth cup. The Rambam says, at least pour a fifth cup. And the Rosh says, yeah, fifth cup, it's an option, it's there if you want. The Shulchan Aruch ignores all of that, which is actually very interesting, because the Shulchan Aruch follows the minhag of the Ashkenazim, because the version of his Gemara was only like the minhag, the version of the Ashkenazi Gemara, which is very interesting, of the Rashbam. And if you look here in number 22, the Maharshal clearly says, Rav Shlomo Luria in Poland, the loina agin an hachi ha'edna, we just don't do this today, we don't have a fifth cup, la'asos chamisha kosos. Now, I'm sure that most people listening only drink four cups. They're probably quite happy not to have to drink a fifth cup, but probably people only drink four cups. That became the Ashkenazi minag all the way through. Where did Koshel Eliyahu come from? Now let's talk for 5 minutes about Eliyahu HaNavi. As we've seen, this issue of the fifth cup was a major debate in the postgame 4 or 5, and the first commentator to mention the Koshel Eliyahu is someone called Rav Zeligman Binger. Now, Rav Zeligman Binger is not very famous in most circles. He was living in the 15th century in Germany. He was the son-in-law of the Maharil. The Maharil, Rav Yaakov Merlin. Rav Yaakov Merlin was one of the main codifiers of Ashkenazi Minhag in the late medieval period. It's interesting to note that the Rishonim, we normally cut off the Rishonim around 1500. That's true of the Sfardim. But the Ashkenazim already by the 1400s, they didn't feel they were in the same league as the early Ashkenazi Rishonim. The Ma'ari Mintz, the Maharil, they didn't feel they could really argue with Rashi, Tosfos, the Rosh, the Maharam of Rottenberg, etc. Really, after the Black Death, that was the cutoff of the Ashkenazi Rishonim in many ways. But this Rav Zeligman Binger, who is also, by the way, the son of someone called the Sefer Tzioni, Rav Mordechai Tzion, very interesting person in his own right. Rav Binger says, we have a fifth cup, which is called the Koshel Eliyahu, and we refer to it because as the Eliyahu's cup, because we hope that Eliyahu is coming. Eliyahu will come and bring in the Mashiach. Our minhag is to have this kos in the middle of the table. And if you look in number 23, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Omrim Sheyesh Lama Shvecha Mascha. He doesn't mention Koshel Eliyahu directly. He says there is a minhag to say Shvecha Mascha, Kodim Loilana, before Hallel, the Liftoach HaPetach, and you open up the door, Kedei Lizkor Shehu Leil Shemurim, to remember that it's a Leil Shemurim, we're not scared. Don't forget, back in the day, Pesach was not a time that people wanted to poke their head out of the door. There was a lot of pogroms, Easter, etc. Leil Shemurim, you open the door, you say Shvecha Mascha, Kedei Lizkor Shehu Leil Shemurim, ubeschus emun hazoh, because of this emunah that we have, Yavo Mashiach, Mashiach will come, v'yishpoch hamasa al ha-machishim ha-shem, v'chinog. That's the minhag. The Mishnah Brura says, and that's when we have Koshel Eliyahu. Look at number 24. Ein mityarim mishum davar. We're not scared of anything on Seder night. V'noyegim ve'elu v'dinas limzor kosh echad. We have an extra cup in Ashkenaz. Yosem ha-masubim, more than the number of people. V'karin osa Koshel Eliyahu, anavi. Why? Just like Hashem took us out of Egypt, Eliyahu will be sent before Mashiach. That's what Koshel Eliyahu is for. That's why it's called Koshel Eliyahu. However, go over to page 6, the Vilna Gaon says, I'll give you another reason why it's called Koshel Eliyahu. It's called Koshel, this is recorded in the Tameh Minhagim, it's called Koshel Eliyahu because we don't know whether to drink it or not. This is the famous fifth cup. This is the vestigial remain of this machlokas in Rishonim, do we or do we not drink a fifth cup? And therefore we pour the fifth cup and we call it Koshel Eliyahu because, just look for a second in the number 25, do we need it or not? The law is a kailcha, so we don't know what the halacha is. Even though the Shulchan Aruch paskin the halacha, no, clear, not clear. Because Shiavo Eliyahu is bar asofik. Eliyahu will clarify the sveikus of this particular fifth cup. Just in parentheses, interestingly, Shvecha Mascha, opening the door, may actually be much more ancient than just Shvecha Mascha. There was a halacha at the time of the Korban Pesach, back 2,000 years ago, that the Korban Pesach had to be eaten in the Chabura, in the same room with a group of people pre-designated on the Korban. And if you left the room, you could not come back in and eat the Korban Pesach. The doors were locked. After they finished the Korban Pesach, the doors were opened, and the people were then free to walk onto the roof to sing Hallel. It could be that our opening the door at the end of the Afikoman, which was, of course, when Korban Pesach would have been, our opening the door is a 2,000-year-old minag remaining from when we used to leave the Korban Pesach to go onto the roof to sing Hallel. Absolutely fascinating that that may have stayed with us. Okay, Eliyahu HaNavi. What's Eliyahu HaNavi got to do with the Seder night? So just to spend a couple of minutes talking about Eliyahu HaNavi, the story, of course, of Eliyahu HaNavi running away from Izebel in Malachim Aleph. Eliyahu HaNavi runs away from Izebel, looking 26. V'yavo sham el amara, he came to the cave. V'yalem sham, and he stayed overnight in the cave. V'ini dvar Hashem elav, God appears to him. V'yom elo, and he said to him, Malacha po Eliyahu, why are you here? Look at Eliyahu's response. V'yom, and he said, Kano kan kinesi l'Hashem. I have been exceedingly zealous to Hashem, Elokei Tzvakot, the God of hosts, Lord of hosts. Ki azvu brisucha b'nei Yisrael. The Jews have abandoned your bris, your covenant. Et mizbechosecha harasu. They destroyed your mizbeach. That neviyecha haragu b'charef. And they've killed off all the neviim. V'ivater ani levadi. I'm the only one left. V'ivakshu et nafshi lechakta. And they're trying to kill me too. I've had it. I'm gone. I want to die. I've had it with these people. They've completely abandoned any kind of connection to Jews.
People of those.
So the Medrash, quite famously in Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, number 27, says as follows: Nigla alav Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem appeared to Eliyahu va'amalo, Malach apo Eliyahu, why are you here? Va'amalo, Kanoki nesi, I've been zealous. Amalo Hakadosh Baruch Hu, la'olam ata mekaneh. You're always so zealous, maybe too zealous. Kinesa b'shitim al giloy arayas, you were zealous as Pinchas in your Gilgul, when you were here as Pinchas, you killed off the women, the people who were sinning with the Moabite women, Pinchas ben Elazar, etc. But kanata mekaneh, and you're also zealous now. Chayecha, he says, by your life, Hashem swears them she'ein Yisrael oisin bris mila ad she'ata roi beinecha. The consequence of this Lashon Hara against the Jewish people, that they've abandoned the bris, is you have to be there every time they perform the bris. Mikan hiskinu chachamim sheyu oisin moishev kavod lamalach habris. This is the origin of the kisei shel Eliyahu, sheneemah umalach habris asher atem chafetzim, that's Yineba, the malach habris is coming from Malachi. And okay, Yisrael, yachish v'yavi b'chayenu Mashiach nechameinu, and God will bring Mashiach, etc. v'yichadesh levavenu. That's Eliyahu at the bris, and that's enshrined in halacha. Eliyahu is present in represented by the kisei shel Eliyahu at the bris. What's the link with Korban Pesach? Obvious. And I brought you an extensive account of this in number 28 of Moshe Hagiz, the Shtei Alechem, in the 18th century, says, listen, Dam Mila and Dam Pesach are absolutely inextricably linked. We say both at the Seder night and at the Bris Mila, V'omalach b'damai chayi, V'omalach b'damai chayi, and Chazal say b'damai chayi is the blood of the Brit and the blood of the Pesach, and of course the two are linked. A person who does not have a Brit Mila, even if they're permitted not to have a Brit Mila, is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach. Even someone who owns an Eved, a slave who doesn't have a Brit Mila, the owner is not allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach, says the Shtei Alechem, and therefore Eliyahu Navi is not only represented by the Kisei Shel Eliyahu at the Brit, but by the Kos Shel Eliyahu at the Seder night. And he brings the Lashon at the end. Ein kan safek, look at the last line of 28. Ein kan safek, ki ba yavo birkat Eliyahu, b'chol bati Yisrael irot kiyum ha-mitzvah, ach mitzvah achas, to see this one mitzvah, shehu shtayim, one mitzvah, which is two, Pesach u'mila. And therefore, Eliyahu is very clearly a major presence at the bris, represented by the kos. And of course, there's a link between the kisei and the kos, same basic idea. The Oruch HaShulchan, who of course is a Kalta Litvak from Navardok, the Oruch HaShulchan, just go to page 7, page number 29, he says there's a minhag he brings to get up. Yesh shehayu noigim la'amoid me'aseba. People got up from the table for loima and say baruch haba to Eliyahu Navi. Again, representing that Eliyahu Navi is coming, as it were. The Nodi B'Yehuda used to escort Eliyahu Navi down the steps of his house after the seder. The Belz of Chassidim escort, as it were, Eliyahu Navi down to the nearest shul, which is interesting, although if they do that this year, the shul will probably be closed, so maybe not such a good idea. The Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote that Eliyahu is seated at the table of the people at the Bris. And the most extreme version of this, and this is maybe one of the origins where the kids are looking at the kais, seeing if the wine goes down. The fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Shalom Dov Be'er Schneerson, would actually, after the Seder, pour a little bit of wine from the bottle into the kais of Eliyahu, because he said the wine is pagum. If somebody drank from the wine, you can't then just use that wine for Kiddush. You have to pour a bit of wine into the wine from a bottle. And he says, therefore, it's ke'ilu, as if Eliyahu Navi has drunk from the wine. This is not just, therefore, a bubi maisi. This is a real representation of Eliyahu Navi. Fine. Does anyone drink 5 cups? Well, please send me an email or a WhatsApp afterwards if you drink 5 cups of the Seder. There are Yemenites who do drink, Teimani Minhagim who do drink 5 cups. Some Hasidim, Kots used to drink 5 cups, Sokachov, the Ishbizits used to drink 5 cups. The Regina Haggadah says some drink the 5 cups based on the Maharal's Haggadah. Now, this is something that I want to use to finish off the discussion, that there is then a discussion of the Maharal. The Maharal, of course, is very famous. The Maharal of Prague, living in Poland in the 16th century. And apparently the Maharal's Haggadah makes reference to drinking the fifth cup. Now, this is a bit of a bombshell, you should just know, because we saw very clearly the Shulchan Aruch said 4, not 5. Okay, have a kosher Eliyahu, maybe we'll minag later, but we're not drinking any fifth cup. The Maharshal we saw from Poland clearly said the minag Ashkenaz is not to drink the fifth cup. So how come the Maharal of Prague is now drinking a fifth cup of wine? So this brings us to the curious case of the Maharal's Haggadah, which may be something that you have heard about before, but I want to spend 3-4 minutes talking about this because it's absolutely fascinating. So a number of 20th century sources quote from the Maharal's Haggadah. It's a Haggadah called the Divrei Nagidim, and if you have the sheet, I brought you the front piece of the Haggadah. It was published in Warsaw. You'll see from the front piece in Tafresh Sin Samach Hay in 1905, because it was discovered in the French and an obscure French library, a manuscript from the Royal Library of Metz. And the manuscript was discovered by someone called Rabbi Yeshua Yudel Rosenberg of Warsaw. Apparently, the manuscript was put together, compiled by the Maharal's son-in-law, Rabbi Yitzchak Katz of Nikolsburg, based on the Maharal's material. And this manuscript says that the Maharal would drink a fifth cup, and brings all sorts of other fascinating ideas from the Maharal on the Haggadah. So Rav Rosenberg discovered this manuscript. Rav Rosenberg himself was a Choshev Dayan. He was on the Beis Din in Lublin and in Warsaw. He wrote very many erudite books on the Nedarim and other complex issues. He published the Maharal's Haggadah in 1905. He then found another manuscript in 1909. He published the Maharal's accounts of the Golem, of the stories that we have of the Maharal and the Golem. He published those again based on another long lost manuscript. And his pièce de résistance, if you like, was in 1913, Rav Rosenberg published a piece called The High Priest's Choshen Mishpat, the Kohen Gadol's Choshen Mishpat, which he wrote published in Hebrew, translated into Yiddish. And he said this was based on a manuscript by someone called Rav Manoah Hendel, a student of the Maharal from 1612. They gave a whole story that the Maharal realized he traced 12 stones from the Choshen Mishpat to a museum in London. They were kept at the Belmore Street Museum in London. And the manuscript shows how in 1590, the Maharal discovered that they'd been stolen. He went to London to locate them. He found an antique collector called Captain Wilson, who it turned out was the thief. And this manuscript goes on to explain how the Maharal managed to bring Kabbalistic tzoros onto Captain Wilson and managed to get back the jewels and restore them to the museum. Okay, very interesting. What's even more interesting is that actually this story of the Choshen Mishpat and the Kohen Gadol's hidden jewels was written 15 years before this manuscript was apparently discovered by none other than Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who was of course the author of the Sherlock Holmes stories, wrote this story, the Jew's Breastplate, in 1899. And Rav Rosenberg clearly simply copied this story and changed the name in the Maharal. He put the Maharal into it. He didn't even copy the change the other names. It was Captain Wilson in the Conan Doyle story as well. There is no library in Metz, and there is no Belmore Street Museum. Clearly, this was a completely plagiarized story that Rav Yehuda Rosenberg turned into a lost manuscript of the Choshen Mishpat. Now, this, of course, it is fascinating. Why he would do this is an interesting question. It also seems that Rav Shneel Lyman has an interesting story, has an interesting shir online about, this is true of the Golem stories as well. And this is also true of the Haggadah. The Haggadah now is extremely suspect. The Maharal's Haggadah, even though it does contain a lot of information from the actual Maharal, it's clear that the Haggadah itself is extremely suspect, if not clearly a fake. And therefore, there is sadly no evidence that the Maharal drank five cups. Exactly what Rav Yehuda Rosenberg was thinking when he was doing all this is not clear. He went on to, by the way, live in Montreal. He became a Choshev Rav in Montreal. He died there in 1935. And he never accepted that the Maharal's Haggadah was not authentic, although it isn't, almost certainly. And therefore, don't get too excited that the Maharal drank five cups, because he probably didn't. Anyway, that's just a side issue. Bottom line, and in the last 2 minutes of the shir, Rav Menachem Kasher, and I brought this for you on the last page of the sheet, Rav Menachem Kasher was extremely excited to bring back the fifth cup. He felt that now was the time when the Jewish people were coming back to Eretz Israel to resurrect this ancient tradition of the fifth cup, Keneged, parallel to the Hevesi. And if I brought you the instructions from his Haggadah, if you look just at the last box on the page, if you have the page, he says, the Hamasader Kois Chamishi Goymer by Yishtabach, and he says the person should have the fifth cup, finishes with Yishtabach, and he says he has a whole Hinene Muchanu Muzumim Lekayim Mitzvahs Kois Chamishi, etc. He tried to persuade the Rabbanut in Israel to institute the fifth cup as a Zionist measure to show that we're coming back to Eretz Israel. The Rabbanut up till now has not been convinced to introduce the fifth cup. Maybe some people are still working on it, but I'd be interested to know who in fact does drink the fifth cup at the Seder, who doesn't drink the fifth cup. It's not so posh to drink it now that we don't drink after the four cups. But anyway, this is actually a fascinating analysis. It's an overview. There's so much more on the sheet. There are many references and links to other parts of this story. But in bottom line, this fifth cup is the elephant in the room. The fifth, which is, if you like, present at our Seder, that people may not realize is quite so present. And the halachic and hashkafic history, and even the extremely strange account of Rav Yehuda Rosenberg and his fake Haggadah of the Maharal, shows you quite how strongly people feel about this fifth cup. And for us, I think at least it represents this idea that the Seder is a statement of emunah, that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, we have absolute confidence that we're part of a process, even though we're in extremely challenging times, and this year we really are in challenging times. It's part of a long-term process which will lead to a Geula, which we state with confidence at the Seder. So I wish we should all be healthy for this week and beyond, and we should all be able to reconnect next week in Yetz Hashem. I want to pick up this issue of the actual grape juice and wine and the colors of the wine. There's a lot to say about that, which is very, very interesting as well, also in Hashkofa, as well as Halacha.